Good afternoon, Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. This is the Born to Lead program, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host for today. So if you just tuned in, you are listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. So today we're going to listen to a very special message from a very powerful man in terms of leadership. Is it Discovering Your Personal Leadership by Dr. Miles Morrow? That will be our special topic for today. So please stay tuned, don't go away. So if you just tune in, you are listening to the Born to Lead program. And as I said, today we're going to listen to a very special man, Dr. Miles Morrow, who talks about how to discover your personal leadership. Please stay tuned.
For another power-packed message from Dr. Miles Monroe, provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
Discovering your personal leadership. Whenever there is an invitation for people to attend a leadership event or to participate in a leadership conference like this, most people respond to that invitation with the attitude that that is not for me. That response is proof that your culture has done an excellent job in canceling who you are. This place, for example, would have been filled to capacity if we had said, come to a miracle service. So you really, this doesn't affect me at all. I know exactly what's going on here. I expected you, and only you. I'm not impressed with crowds. You see me? I speak to them all the time, millions of them. My real love is people like you who believe that this is for you. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't like crowds. He didn't trust them. Because he understood the strategy for changing the world. And the strategy for changing the world is not large meetings or big events. It's small groups committed to intensive transformation. So he chose 12 people. Can you imagine someone who came to change the world only chose 12 people? And his only focus with them was on leadership development. He started with raw material, which means these 12 specimens had no formal training in leadership. What I thought was a good strategy that he used was he at least chose businessmen. I like business people. Religious people are problems. So the people he chose were business people and professional people. Like Matthew was an accountant. Luke was a doctor, a medical doctor. Peter, James, and John owned a fishing company. These were businessmen. And the number one business of that day was fishing in that village around Galilee. So these guys were owners of the top business industry. That's who he chose. Because he wanted to produce leaders. One time, his crowd grew too much. Y'all would remember that one day the people stayed with him for 3 days and they ran out of food. He decided it's my responsibility to make sure that they are fed before they go home. So we know the story. He worked a miracle, multiplied fish and bread, and he fed them. And the Bible says after that meeting was over, 70 joined him. 70. Can you imagine having 12 people and all of a sudden you grew by 70%? Now, normally when you grow by 70%, you are excited. Jesus was not. He was suspicious. Why? Because he understands big crowds. They are not interested in changing. They're interested in feeding. So he turned to the 70 and he asked them a question. Why do you follow me? That was the question. Now normally if you are a pastor, if you are a pastor and your church grew by 70% in one day, you wouldn't ask that question. Matter of fact, you would say, thank you all for coming. But his suspicion was high. He said, why do you follow me? And then he answered the question for them. I know why you follow me. Is it not because of the fish and bread I fed you yesterday? See, there are people who just want miracles, but they don't want to change. And miracles never change people. You would remember the children of Israel. They saw more miracles than any of you could dream of. And in the end, they were still cursing God. And then Jesus topped it off by saying, if you seek for a miracle, you are a wicked and adulterous generation. So he asked them, why are you with me? It's because, only because of the fish and bread. You just want stuff from me. You want handouts. You people are interested in changing the world. You just want welfare. Watch him now. He says, look, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, he says, you must stop looking for the bread and the fish. And you must feed on me. Eat my flesh, he says, and drink my blood. Now, those are the kinds of people who are here in this seminar tonight. I consider you very rare people. I'm not surprised. I tell you, I work with crowds. I don't trust. It's those who show up in the morning sessions, they're the ones I believe. Those ones who come to the workshops, they're the real people. They're the ones who God will spend his time with. And give them what they expected and more. The Bible says when the 70 heard this, I must eat your flesh and drink your blood, feed on you. It says, they said to each other, this is a hard saying. In other words, you are demanding too much. You want us to stay with you and look to you for our livelihood? It says, they forsook him and walked away. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine losing 70% of your members in one day? Sure, it can happen. But what intrigued me and impressed me is what he did after they left. It was a leadership act. Because he was training now these 12 guys, okay? So he turns to the 12, this text says, and asks them a question. Will you leave also? In other words, are you just like them? He also meant, I will do this by myself. By the way, that's one of the most important principles of leadership, you know. Finding something worth doing by yourself. That's good. If you need people to like you and approve of you for you to do what you're doing, you are not a leader yet. You're a politician. He was willing to go alone. Peter spoke up and said, Master, Rabbi, which means master teacher. I'm going to paraphrase Peter, okay, a little bit. Peter probably said, we think you are crazy, Jesus. We too think you are a little bit weird, but you make sense to us. In you, he says, we have found the words that give us life or give our life meaning. That's what leaders do. Leaders give people's lives meaning. That's why they follow you. People will follow you when they receive a sense of significance for their own lives.
Peter's answer was powerful. In you, we have found the words that give us life. Our business was doing great. You know, we have a company, but you have shown us that we could do more than just business. We can change the world. And that's why we're here in this seminar the next 2 days. I guarantee you, if you listen to me very carefully, the next 48 hours, you are going to be transformed as a person. But you got to listen. You got to feed on me just a little bit. Because what I'm teaching you is what I live. And it begins with discovering what I call your personal leadership. Leadership does not begin with people. It begins with you first. Let me give you a couple of things to write down. Because I'm giving you what they never taught me in church. And that is, everyone is a leader. Pastors are afraid to say that because they don't want no competition in the pulpit. But leadership begins with how you think. So let me give you my philosophy of leadership that I had to discover for myself to become the person I am. Everyone was created to lead. Say that with me. Everyone was created to lead. Say it again. Everyone was created to lead. That's a tough statement. Most of you don't believe that statement. I understand it. I understand. Because I was the same way. Because when you read that statement, there is a contradiction in your mind right now. There's a battle going on. I know what the battle is. The battle is a question. If everyone was created to lead, then who's going to follow? And there's your battle. I'll give you another statement. Write this down. Trapped in every follower is a hidden leader. These are philosophical statements, but they are very important. Because leadership begins with your belief. And your belief system determines your philosophy of life. If every follower is a leader, then the question becomes a problem again. What happens when they all become leaders? Who's going to follow? The fact that you ask that question is proof that you've been successfully convinced by your culture that only a certain type and group of people were born to lead while the other masses were designed to follow. That's really what you believe. That's why the question arises. Because you cannot see in your mind everyone being a leader. You have problems in your mind. I have the same problems. And this is why I teach this so hard. Because it is that belief, that subtle belief that's in your mind that's trapping you right now. For example, in my mind, there is no economic crisis. That's because of the way I think. So your thinking is your life. Let me give you another statement to write down. You were created to lead and designed to dominate. Say that with me. I was created to lead and designed to dominate. Now the words are very powerful. You don't evolve into a leader. You were created to be one. The manufacturer actually had leadership in mind when he created you. But look at what they've done to you. They've made you an employee. And they told you where you can be employed and where you cannot be employed. And then they restrict how far you can rise in that employment. What have they done to you? It's because nobody has challenged the system. This philosophy is not new that I'm teaching. It's as old as God. Write the statement down, please. True leadership is self-discovery. True leadership begins with an individual discovering something about themselves. That's when it really begins. And you will never become a true leader until you are introduced to yourself. You know, if you were to study the leaders of history who really changed the world, beginning with people like Moses, maybe, you know. Here Moses is on a job. He's employed by his father-in-law. Employment. So he thinks he's a shepherd. You know, that's what I do. That's my job. And then he meets his manufacturer. The manufacturer says to him, "You are the deliverer and the leader of 1 million people. You are also an author of the first 5 books of the Bible. You are the leader of a labor force. You are a lawgiver for all the nations of the world. They're going to steal your laws and use them." His answer, "You must be talking to somebody else." You see, when you meet yourself, you are always afraid. Most of you are afraid of yourself because yourself does not agree with who you've become. You think you are a shepherd, a manager, a supervisor, and your real self is the first prime minister of a country called Israel. And when I introduce myself to myself, myself says to myself, "That's not me." And I argue for 3 weeks with myself. Gideon. Remember Gideon? Hiding under the floor, trembling in fear from the enemy outside. And then the manufacturer shows up. "Good evening, Gideon. Do you know who you are? You are a mighty man of valor." Gideon says, "Who are you talking to?" You see, when you meet yourself, you can't believe yourself. And we are so corrupted by our culture, we actually argue with ourselves with good arguments. Gideon says, "I was born in the wrong family. Born in the wrong clan, born on the different side of the track. Are you crazy? People like us don't be valors. We ain't mighty warriors. We are cowards." And the manufacturer says, "You are a mighty man of valor." He says, "Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a fleece outside. In the morning, if it's wet, I'll believe you." So he put a fleece, it's wet. He said, "Just to make sure, I'm going to put it out again if it's dry in the morning." In other words, here we are, fussing with ourselves. You know why I came here to this conference? I came here to introduce you to yourself. What you are doing is embarrassing to God. What you are proud of, he's ashamed of. What you settle for is a shock to heaven. I know what I'm talking about. I was there. You got to discover something. And that's where leadership begins. It begins with self-discovery. I want you to take a look at this slide. This is a car. You ever seen a car like that before? That's a car. 40,000 parts or more make up a car. That's a car. Taken apart. Now, I show you that for a reason. I want to ask you a question. Here's the question. Which part of this car is the most important part of the car? You look at the engine of the car. What is the most important part of the engine? I mean, these questions are important. 40,000 parts, which part is the most important? Your car in the parking lot has a great engine in it, beautiful parts. But the question is, which part is the most important? Now, I'm going to show you two parts here. The battery is the big boy. So if I was to ask you which is the most important part of your engine, you would probably say the battery, because the battery has all the power. Powerful. You know, we like powerful people, don't we? Power. Hallelujah, power. You know, we like power. So we go for the power. We say, the battery is the most important person in the car, because the battery has the power to get things started. Well, I disagree. So who's the lead in this engine? Is it the battery? Well, we got a little thing on the side called the spark plug. Now, the battery probably costs about $150. Spark plugs cost about maybe, you know, $10. So we got difference in value as well. Can the battery become more important than the spark plugs? If you remove the spark plugs, the battery is useless. So who's more important? Well, I don't know yet. I'm going to show you something else. Right in the middle of this picture, there is a little wire. Right in the middle, in the background. See a little wire? It's called a terminal wire. The terminal wire is what you connect to the battery and to the generator. The terminal wire costs $4. The battery costs $150. Who's more important in this car? Well, let's find out. With all the power the battery has, if you remove that $4 wire from the battery's terminal, the battery is useless. So who's the leader? Well, let's find out here. All the power trapped in the battery. The battery is useless to the car without a $4 wire. Who's the most important person in your organization? Is it the CEO or the maintenance woman? Is it the secretary who types? Or is it the manager of stores that oversee resources? Who really is the leader? See, this scenario is an interesting one, because that $4 wire can shut the car down. The car is worth $80,000. $4 can shut it down. Isn't that amazing? Now, the problem is this little terminal wire has to connect to the battery and to the generator. And all it does is a function called transfer. It transfers power to the generator that hits the spark, that turns the shaft, that caused that whole engine to turn over, to cause the wheels to turn, and you can control it. Transfer. The only problem is the terminal wire has no power. It's just a transfer function.
That's good.
The only problem with the battery is it cannot transfer. It has all the power. Only problem with the spark plug is it ain't got no power and can't transfer, but it can produce fire.
That's good.
So who's the leader in the this whole situation? No one and everyone. That's the answer. Here's the answer. Everyone is a leader in their area of functioning. Write it down. This is the concept of leadership that God introduced. Every part of the car is a leader in its area of functioning. So we have to respect each part. They have successfully convinced you that you are useless. And they use you to do what they want you to do. They meaning your culture. And you obey them because you don't know who you were born to be. You have no idea what your function is. When I discovered who I was, I became free from them. I began to dictate my own value. Therefore, I told them, you need me. Come on, say it. You need me. Say it like you feel it. You need me. See, you become a leader when you discover that one discovery. They need me. The world needs me. Say it.
The world needs me.
Say it loud. The world needs me. I want you to say it with a revelation. Come on, say it. The world needs me. Let me tell you something. If you discover that, you become dangerous. You are not an accident. You are an assignment.
Yes, good.
Leadership. You know, we talk about leadership. This is a photograph of all of the leaders in the world together, the present ones, and a recent photograph taken. And I want to talk in this session about some of the areas I want to cover very quickly. First, my objective is to help you to see that we need and value leadership. Secondly, we want to talk about what leadership is, what it takes to become a leader. We want to talk about the principles of leadership tomorrow and the art of leading, how to do it. And then we want to talk about the cost and the price of becoming a leader. It is costly. This is why we love following so much. It doesn't cost much to fall, to follow. But yet, when you follow, you hardly ever find out who you are. So you want to talk about those things. Now here's a leader that you all are acquainted with. He spent time in this state, born here. Walking through the airport of this state, capital, they have his coat and tie. You'd wonder, why would someone want to put a man's coat on display in an airport? And we won't ever see your coat. I'm going to explain to you why, okay? And hopefully, if you get this revelation I'm going to teach you in this leadership seminar, they'll want your coat also. Leadership is an amazing thing. First of all, here's why leadership is important. Write this down. Nothing happens without leadership. Nothing happens without leadership. Number two, nothing changes without leadership. Number three, nothing develops without someone taking leadership. Number four, nothing improves in any situation without leadership. Number five, nothing is corrected without leadership. If something is not right in an environment, someone has to emerge and take the leadership. Number six, nothing advances without leadership. Number seven, nothing succeeds without leadership. And number eight is a reminder. We are always being led by someone, whether we think so or not. So look at how important leadership is. It improves, it changes, it develops, it corrects, it advances, and it brings success in life. This is probably one of the reasons why the religious people are so ineffective. Because they pray too much for things to be corrected, to change, to improve, to develop, to advance, and to succeed. I think one day, Rosa Parks decided to stop praying. That's all. What made her a leader? She just decided, no more prayer. I'm now going to be active. This is why the drug problem in your community is so diabolically destructive. Because you keep praying for them. You wouldn't do anything. Leadership is born when toleration ends. Why? Whatever you tolerate, you will never change. What did I say? Whatever you tolerate, you will never change. This is why there are very few leaders in your city. Your toleration level is very high. Leaders are usually angry people. As a matter of fact, you will learn tomorrow night the secret to becoming a true leader. And one of the secrets is anger.
Yes, Lord.
Wow.
When you decide, I have had enough. A leader is about to be born.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you.
Toleration is the graveyard of leaders. And that's why we lack leadership in the 21st century. Everybody wants to be liked. Nobody wants to rock the boat. And that's why we're not leaders, because we want everyone to agree with us. So what we have is companies and churches and nations that are overmanaged and underled. Don't ever confuse a manager with a leader. No manager is a leader. But leaders are managers. What's the difference between a manager and a leader? In my book on the table called Becoming a Leader, make sure you read that book. It deals with this subject. But let me give you a hint. A manager maintains things. A leader changes everything. A manager follows policy. A leader creates policy. A manager keeps tradition. Leaders break it. Managers focus on the bottom line. How much is it going to cost? Leaders focus on the horizon. Let's do it.
Yes.
Managers focus on doing the right thing. Leaders are very unique. Managers are always focusing on doing things the right way, is what I'm saying. Leaders want to know whether we're doing the right thing. If you are led by a manager, you will never grow. If your pastor is a manager, the church is stuck. If your department is headed by a manager, it will never expand. If your husband is a manager, your family is stuck. So we need managers, but we need leaders more than managers. Because leaders is what give managers work to do. Let me ask some questions. These are interesting questions I pose to students everywhere. I teach this in universities and I do surveys. And here's my question I give them. Is leadership about power? What do you think? No. Okay. Is it about position? Is leadership about talent? You sure? Is leadership about skill? It's a skillful person. Is leadership about authority? Is leadership about status in your society? Is leadership really about charisma? By the way, the word charisma is a Greek word. It's a very dangerous word. It's invented by the Greeks. Some of y'all call yourselves charismatics. Be careful. It's a Greek word. It means giftings of the gods. Plural. Gods. Because they were polytheist. They believed in many gods. Charisma. The giftings of the gods. Paul used it. He borrowed the Greek word to teach on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's a Greek word. Charisma. We have our own idea what that means. Last question. Are leaders born or made? Very important question. Some people struggle with that. I answered it years ago. I'm clear in my head. So the question is, when does one become a leader? It's a tough question, you know, because the question would be, when did Rosa Parks become a leader? See, you don't need to be a PhD from a college to be a leader. You can just be an old lady on a bus. I told you everybody's a leader. Everybody's a leader. The problem is they haven't told you how to become one. She discovered something. Don't die the way you are. Don't give them the privilege of firing you. You're better than that. Don't let people terminate what you call a career. How dare you allow people to cancel your life with a pink slip? This is crazy. That's why we're here. The dumbest animal on the planet is a sheep. Some of y'all don't know that. In case you don't, I'm going to say it again. The dumbest animal God made is a sheep. Do you know why? There are no leading sheep. I want you to study a flock of sheep. Anywhere, you will never see a leader. It's the only animal in the world that doesn't have a leader. Elephants have a leader. Bulls have a leader. You know, bees have a leader. Everyone except the sheep. If someone say you are a sheep, that's not a compliment. And religious people love the word. They love it. I am God's flock. That's not a compliment. Teach. Follow me. I'm going to show you how we are screwed up. Even in our theology has made us what we are. The sheep is the dumbest animal because he will follow anyone. Because he has no leader. So I have a little test for you. If an army of sheep is led by a lion, do you believe they will always defeat an army of lions if they are led by a sheep? And the answer is yes. An army of sheep led by a lion will defeat an army of lions if the lions are led by a sheep. What's the moral of this parable? Here it is. Write it down. Number one, leadership determines the quality of the followers. You know, a good leader can transform cowards into warriors. A good leader can transform frightened people into fearless people. Again, what a state to be teaching this principle, the state of Georgia. Years of oppression. And then a short little preacher became a lion. And he motivated frightened people to stand in the face of water hoses. He turned little girls into giants who could face dogs. I mean, this is leadership is so powerful, it can transform cowards. Here's what it means. Number two, leadership determines the mentality of the followers. This is how powerful leadership is. Leadership also determines the morality of the followers. Your morale and your morals can be transformed by the right kind of leader. Leadership also determines the attitude of the follower. In essence, leadership determines the commitment of the follower. That's why we need you. We need you to discover your leadership, because there are people in your city who are being abused by the system. And they need someone to emerge who will give them hope. Because leadership determines the destiny of followers. I couldn't say it any better than my own greatest leader of all time, the ultimate leader of life, when he said these words, "If the blind lead, wow, if the blind lead the blind," he says, "they both fall into the ditch," which means the leader determines the destination of the followers. That's how powerful leadership is. Let me tell you something about your life. You are exactly where someone led you. If you don't like where you are right now in your life, you're going to have to reconsider changing leadership. You know why I love this church? This is the second time I'm here doing this. I mean, this church... Do you know, do you know how many people wanted me tonight? I'm talking about massive organizations in the world wanted me. I decided I like this man's desire. They wanted me to stay in Israel 3 extra days. I said, no, I'm going to Atlanta. Why? There's someone there who believes they can do better. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the members of this church really know who their pastor is. See, your problem is you want to shout and sing hallelujah, hallelujah, and then die broken sick. This conference is about to set you free from that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Makes me so sad. See, people, you know, having religious feel all this emotional stuff. because they are sheep. They just follow anybody. People come in town with a white suit, white Bible, white shoes. They run to that person. Just sheep. If the blind, what? Lead. You know what Jesus is just telling us? He's telling us it's possible for a person to be in charge with a title, with a position, with power, with influence, and still be blind. Don't ever be impressed with power. Don't be impressed with position. Ask the question, where are we going? What's our destination? Because I might not want to go with you. Hello, somebody. See, that's how powerful leadership is. Leadership will lead you to their destiny. Some of you know the story about Jim Jones in Guyana. Sheep. I mean, sensible people with a brain with 500 billion cells followed a man in a bush and drank poison. Because they never asked the question, where are we going? What is your vision? Write this down. Vision is more important than leadership. Please get the book on vision on the table, please. Very important. People think that leadership is important, but vision is more important than leadership, because vision is what creates the leader. What makes you a leader is the fact that you see a future that's better than the present. So leadership is powerful. Now, there are two animals that God identified himself with. Both of them are leaders. One is the eagle, the other is the lion. I always wonder why God did this. But he created them, so he knows their qualities and their character. I love them both. I always love eagles and lions. You come in my office, you see lions and eagles all over the place. In my home, lions, eagles all over the place. You know, in a couple of days, we go to Africa. I told my planners down there, I got to go see the lions again. Every time I go, I got to spend time with my cousins. And I go and spend the whole day with them. My wife and them, with the lions, we go there, we spend time with them. Why? These, they remind me of me. They remind me of leadership. As a matter of fact, Jesus says he is the Lion of Judah. Not the puppy or the dog. The Lion of Judah. Not the monkey or the raccoon. The lion. God identified himself as a lion. You better study the lion. Because he rules the universe, you know. God identified with a lion and he rules the universe. That means the lion has some qualities that he wants you to study. Here's some of the lion that's very strange. Number one, the lion is not the tallest animal in the jungle. He's not the strongest. He's not the biggest. He is not the most powerful. And he's not the most intelligent. And yet he's the leader. Tell your neighbor there's hope for you. What the lion has done is he has canceled all of your excuses for not being a leader. The color of his mane and his skin doesn't inhibit him from being a leader.
All right, so that brings us to the end of today's show for the Born to Lead program. Coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. So that was Dr. Miles Morrow on the Discovering Your Personal Leadership. So we will continue, hopefully, next week. If not, we'll bring you another interview about leadership next week. So thank you for joining us, and have a good week. God bless. Bye.